Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Well, good morning, Centerpoint. Good morning. I'm so excited to be here with you. My name is Michael. I have the honor of being one of the pastors here at Centerpoint Church. I'm the associate pastor here in the Massapequa campus. I also oversee the young adult ministry here. So if you are ages 18 through 29 and you're not connected with the young adults, I'd love to talk to you about that, have a conversation on what that might look like. That's just my shameless plug right there, and then we'll get into it. Well, hey, I have a question, because the past 10 years, there's been like amazing superhero movies coming out, right? It's like the past decade has been the bright spot for superhero movies. Anybody have a favorite superhero movie out there? Spider-Man, of course, Spider-Man, right? Anybody else? Iron Man, yeah, Iron Man is good too. My favorite superhero movie is actually The Incredibles, right? I mean, that's an amazing movie. And most people answer with, yeah, my kids love that movie. And I'm like, I'm 30 years old, and I'm not ashamed. I still love that movie. It's my favorite. And there is a the villain in the movie. His name is Syndrome, right? You guys remember this guy? You pop Syndrome up on the board there. This crazy-looking guy. So at 10 years old, he was known as Incrediboy, and all he wanted to do was just partner up with Mr. Incredible, right? And at 10 years old, this kid gets rejected by his idol. Very sad. And so, like, I'm not rooting for the villain in this, but I kind of felt for him, right? I feel like Syndrome was just a syndrome of his pain, you know? He became a Syndrome, and the next 15 years, he was plotting to take revenge. And I'm not justifying the revenge. I just felt for him. But today, we are continuing our series, Unsubscribe, and we're talking about unsubscribing from revenge. And revenge is not just for supervillains. I think that we all probably have maybe struggled with this. Most of us do actually subscribe to some sort of revenge, but it doesn't look like diabolical plans plotting to take over the world or take revenge on our enemies for 15 years. But it looks like something more subtle, like bitterness in our hearts that leads to revenge. And so we're going to get into it. And I think that if we learn to unsubscribe from revenge, that we will learn to trust God more, that we will learn that God has a plan and he will take action on our behalf. And that will just elevate our faith to a new level. And not only that, but we will find peace to forgive other people instead of taking revenge. And so we're going to get into the text. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19, but a little context first. The book of Romans was written by the apostle Paul. If you don't know Paul, he was like a supervillain. Against Christians. He was plotting to destroy the Christians, and he was completely changed on the road to Damascus by the living Jesus Christ. He met Jesus. His life was transformed. He became a superhero for the Christian faith, but after he became a Christian, he actually suffered a lot. He went through some hardships. Here's a couple things that happened to Paul after he became a Christian. He was flogged 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was stoned and left for dead outside of the city. He was shipwrecked because the people he was with wouldn't listen to his advice. And he was imprisoned for preaching the good news of Jesus. And he was forgotten about by his friends in prison. Like, if anybody had reason to feel deserving of taking revenge, it's this guy. Like, he's gone through a lot. But he's the one that's going to teach us through God's inspiration that we shouldn't take revenge, but instead that God has another plan. He has a promise for us, and we don't have to take revenge on our own. He's going to do it for us. And so you might feel like Paul today. Like, you might feel like you've been hurt deeply over and over again. And I want you to know that God sees you, God knows you, and he doesn't want you to feel that pain. And he wants to show us that there's another way. So let's get into the text. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 19. It says this: do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. And so Paul gives us this really clear, simple definition of what revenge is. But before we get into what revenge is and what unsubscribing from revenge might look like, I want to show us what it's not. What unsubscribing from revenge is not. So letting go of revenge is not ignoring justice. Okay, he says it very clearly. It's a warning. It's not even just a command. He says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. As followers of Christ, we should be concerned with justice. Amen? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, the prophet Isaiah says this, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Biblical justice is about learning who God is, learning about God's character and allowing that to be poured out through us into this world. That's what biblical justice looks like. And it can look like a number of things. Living our lives out of generosity, right? Giving to those who are in need. It could mean advocating on behalf of those who need help, right? Speaking up for those who can't speak up for themselves. It could look like acting in defense of hurting and vulnerable individuals, right? Defending those who need defending, but not attacking the other people. That's what biblical justice looks like, and it's about doing what's right. And unsubscribing from revenge is not ignoring justice. It's not getting along with everyone either. And thank God Paul puts this in here, because like we can all agree, there's some people that we just can't get along with, right? We can't have peace even though we try. But here's the thing that he's saying. It's not up to us to make every relationship right. I mean, thank God. Because we could try and try and try. But reconciliation requires two people, right? And it could be anyone, really. It could be your friend. It could be your neighbor. It could be a coworker. It could be your in-laws. It could be your boss, right? Not my boss, though. My boss is he's a very wonderful man. But there are people in our lives that we just can't have peace with, but that doesn't mean we don't try, right? Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. If you're offering a gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. And so if you come into church and you have an issue with someone and you're just kind of not dealing with it, God is asking us, he's telling us, go and make that right. Not now, stay here for now, but later, go and make that right. You know, God wants us to try, and here's really what we're getting down to is that we never let ourselves be the reason that there's hostility. We can't make everything happen. It takes two to tango, but never let ourselves be the reason that there's hostility in our relationships. And so unsubscribing from revenge is not about ignoring justice. It's not about getting along with everyone. So what is it? Paul says it very clearly. He says, letting go of revenge is deciding not to repay evil for evil. And we've heard it said, right? Two wrongs don't make a right. The lesser of two evils is still evil, right? We know this. But revenge is when we take justice into our own hands, deciding who gets what and how they're going to get it. And revenge is vindicating ourselves of wrongdoing because someone did wrong to us first. If we take out all the context, if we take out the past and the future, if we take out the cause and the effect, if you just look at the present moment, when we take revenge, what we're doing is we're justifying wrongdoing. That's what it comes down to. Take everything else away, just look at the moment before us. When we take revenge, we're justifying wrongdoing, and it's a sin. Not just because God says right now in this passage, do not take revenge. And if we look at God's command and we say, no thanks, I'm going to take revenge, that's sin. That's disobedience to what God wants us to do. But more than that, revenge leads to deeper sin. Because we've got emotions. Emotions get involved in all this, and it's never a one-to-one. Right? If someone does wrong to me and I feel this amount of pain, I want them to feel this amount of pain back. And so in order for me to guarantee that you feel this amount of pain, I've got to give you this much. Just to make sure that you know the pain I felt. And so it's never a one-to-one ratio because we've got an emotional damage when it comes to this stuff. And so I thought I'd take matters into my own hands and think of something that could make someone so angry that they might want to take revenge on me. Here's what I came up with. I parked my car the other day, and this is... That's not my car. I didn't do that. I don't drive a Range Rover, okay? But this is a real story that happened, right? Somebody parked. This makes us angry, right? If you're doing this, please. It's a guideline. It's not a law. I found that out. It's not a law, but it is a guideline. Please just park in the spot. But I found this story on the internet, and if you do like a rabbit hole of revenge stories on the internet, you'll be there for a while. I would not recommend it. But this is what the person decided to do. He said, "You park your car in two spots. I zip tie a cart to your car door handle." Yeah. Now, you tell me, is that one-to-one? This is not the first time that this person has seen someone park like that and been very angry about it, right? There's a lot of the iceberg that's underneath the water there, we like to say. It's not the first straw, this is the last straw on this person. And that's the thing about revenge, because it's repaying evil for evil, but it doesn't start the moment you decide to do this. Revenge starts way before then, because bitterness in our hearts is where revenge starts. Revenge begins with bitterness in our hearts. This is what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says. "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." It is the root of bitterness that produces revenge. And we all know what bitterness feels like. We've all experienced this feeling because we let it in, we let it simmer, we let it like bubble up inside of us. It's like this poisonous energy. And here's the crazy thing about bitterness: it actually makes us feel good. Psychology says that when we seek revenge, the reward center of our brain lights up. That's crazy, because I've had daydreams about revenge. I'm gonna just confess to you, like, and when you come out of that, you feel crazy. You feel like, wow, I felt like I was in it, but I kind of feel like crazy good in a weird way, because I paint myself as the hero. One color, right? I'm good. And I paint the other person with one color. They're bad. They're wrong. I'm good, and they're bad. And as we paint the person like that, really what we're doing is we're committing wrong to them in our hearts. The thing about bitterness is that it never stays inside. It always comes out. It always finds its way out into revenge. And here's just a few examples that bitterness leads to. Number one, gossiping about the person, right? Because we paint the picture of how bad this person is, and now we want to show everyone just how bad this person is, just how much they hurt us. We only want them to see this person for what they've done one time against us, right? And we show the picture to everyone. And sometimes it's direct, right? We're gossiping. And let me just say this. If you've experienced hurt and you want to air your grievances out in a godly way with counsel and to find healing, that is good. You should absolutely do that. If you've been hurt, you should be able to talk about it. But gossip is different. Gossip is getting pleasure out of pouring out another person's wrongdoing. And sometimes it's direct, but sometimes it's subtle, right? Even in the church, you're just like, oh, that person, I'd pray about that. I really would. I'd pray. I'm not gonna say much more. Because I don't want to gossip, but yeah, no, watch out. It's like, that's basically gossip. How about making revenge posts on Facebook? I mean, we've all seen this. First the breakup, right? And then the dirt. And we just want everybody to know. Or taking revenge screenshots on your phone and holding them for later. We've seen it. Giving the cold shoulder, choosing to ignore. Any married people out there? Right. First the fight, then the silence. And then the little digs at one another, like the little bickering and back and forth. And then the not looking at each other, like actually deciding to not look at the other person. And then if you get to this spot, you're in real big trouble, the revenge cleaning. Like, I've done this where I'm like, I'm cleaning the dishes. I'm just like, I'll show you. Get the dishes clean, you won't be able to say anything anymore. But that happens in a lot of different relationships. We choose to ignore someone instead of reconciling the situation because we'd rather distance ourselves out of bitterness than do what God desires for us to do, which is try, as far as it depends on you, if it's possible, to live at peace. But we choose not to do that out of bitterness. And it finds its way into the church too. Don't like what the pastor said, I'll just leave. That person hurt me, I won't show up for them anymore. It's like that's how bitterness gets into our lives and changes the way that we look at our relationships around us. It causes division. It causes separation where God wants to bring peace and reconciliation. We have all, at one point or another, I think, struggled with bitterness, which is the root cause of revenge. And here's a definition of revenge I'd like to share. Revenge is our own personal justice system where everyone gets what we think they deserve, except me. That's the problem. Because we have to come back to this question, have I ever wronged someone? Have I ever been the cause of their pain? Have I ever sinned against someone? Have I ever hurt them? And the answer is yes, I have. I have hurt people. And I was thinking about just this story that I want to share just a little bit of. You know, before I became a Christian, I was a younger man, and there was somebody who was showing me the Bible. He was kind of mentoring me. He was the only person in my life, in my adult life, that was like telling me about who this Jesus is. And I was in a dark place. I was in a place that I wanted to just go the opposite way of God. But this person was trying to help me, and I hurt him. I wronged him. I stole something from him that he considered very valuable. And it ruined the relationship. Like, it totally severed everything that we had. And it was such a great relationship. God was moving and God was teaching me, but I made a mistake. I wronged him. And I felt so bad about it. But I couldn't do anything about it because there was just this separation now between us. And here's the thing. When we create our own justice system in our minds where we're the judge and the jury and the executioner, we have to consider ourselves within that realm. And we can't bear that. I mean, we're not supposed to bear that responsibility. God has a different justice system. Unsubscribing from revenge is really about trusting God. Unsubscribing from revenge is really about trusting God. In verse 19, God gives us this promise. He says, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay." God's promise is that he will repay the evil that is done in this world. He is going to enact a righteous judgment against people. We don't have to take revenge because God is going to bring judgment and justice into the world. And I think this gives a little bit of hope because we don't want to see the evil and the awful and the hurting things in this world just swept under the rug like they never happened. Like, just because you didn't get caught doesn't mean you get away with it, right? We don't want to see the pain and the evil just disappear like nothing comes of it. And God's promise is that he's going to judge. He's going to bring justice, and it's not up to us. But we want to be God sometimes. We want to be God. That's why we take revenge. But we're not God. And God is going to bring a righteous judgment. God is going to bring the truth into the situation. God is good, and he can be trusted to take action on our behalf. And now, this would be bad news. This would be bad news for us if God's system was the same as ours. If it was everyone gets what they deserve, but God's divine justice system isn't like that. God's divine justice system gives us every chance to be forgiven. We've all hurt God. We have all wronged God. We have all done wrong to God. Imagine creating someone in your image, and they look at you and they reject you. Say, no thanks, I'll go my own way, I'll just pretend like you don't exist. Hurt. We've all hurt God. But instead of giving us the punishment that we deserve, Jesus died on the cross to pay the punishment himself. Every sin, every wrongdoing, every selfishness, every hurt that we have committed against God was paid for on the cross. All we have to do is believe and accept the offer. He wants to forgive us. He wants to offer this punishment on our behalf. It's a true and a real offer. When we place our faith in Jesus, our sin is forgiven and we are made right in God's eyes. And God's justice system is this: anyone can be forgiven for anything. And I want you to know that if you've been sinned against, if you've been deeply hurt, God wants to heal you. God sees you. Jesus was hurt in every way imaginable. He knows what pain is like. But he wants to heal you, not just from your situation, but in your soul. He wants to bring healing forever. And I want you to know that if you have hurt someone else, that God wants to forgive you. If you have been dealing with the guilt and the shame of the consequences of your actions, God wants to forgive you, not just in that circumstance, not just that situation, but in your soul. He wants to provide forgiveness for you. On the cross, while he was being crucified, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." God wants to forgive us. And this news is good news. It really is. Because even though we've all sinned against God, he offers us forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Here's a quote from Tim Keller about revenge. He says, "If you hold a grudge, if you retaliate against someone else, then even if you say you're a sinner saved by grace, you don't really believe that. You're denying it in both your heart and your life, no matter what you say." Ultimately, when we hold bitterness and revenge inside of us against someone else, we are denying the very nature of what being a Christian is all about. Seeing ourselves as someone who needs forgiveness from God. Seeing ourselves as someone who's been offered this forgiveness from God. And seeing ourselves as someone who takes that offer of forgiveness and now offers it to others as we've been forgiven. We forgive others. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says this: "While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son." Today is the day to forgive. Today is the day to be forgiven. We could look at our enemies and we could hold on to the bitterness, but God didn't. God looked at us and he didn't hold on to it, but instead he reconciled us to himself through the death of his son. While we were enemies, he loved us. And he calls us to do the same, to love our enemies and to forgive as we have been forgiven. And so I'm gonna call the worship team up. I wanna end with the second half of the story, because I hurt this man and our relationship was severed, but I saw him about 6 months later, and he saw me and he walked up to me and I was like, all right, I might get what I deserve here. I really thought that. And instead of that, he put out his hand and he said, "I forgive you. You hurt me. You wronged me. but I've hurt people, I've wronged people, and God has forgiven me, and so I will forgive you. And praise God for that. Everything changed. Everything changed for me. Because I saw the love of Jesus in real life, forgiving me for something I needed forgiveness for. I saw the love of Jesus like it is in heaven. Forgiveness. And so today, as we unsubscribe from revenge, it leads us to releasing this bitterness and finding peace to trust in God that he's got everything handled. He is going to repay on our behalf. But not only that, when we unsubscribe from revenge, we can subscribe to forgiveness. And we could change everything for someone else. We can display the love of Jesus Christ on the cross in real time as it is in heaven here on earth. And so I want to pray that God would help us to do that. God, we thank you. We thank you that you didn't leave us on our own. You never have and you never will. But Jesus, you came down to be near us. You came down to know us so that we could know you. Jesus, we thank you that you have paid on our behalf everything that we need on the cross. Lord, as we've been forgiven by you, give us the strength, give us the hope to forgive others, to let go of the bitterness that divides us and holds us back from displaying your love in heaven here on earth. But God, remind us who we are in your sight, that we are saved, we are forgiven, we are made right in your sight. Help us to do that with others. We praise your name. We glorify you. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one more song of worship. So if you guys could stand.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at CenterPointNY on Instagram and CenterPoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.